bear ye one another's burdens. We are in a series on one another love. Remember, Jesus said that the hallmark of Christianity is to love one another. He said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." But it sounds general. What does he mean by loving one another? And he becomes more specific as we read through the New Testament. He says things like, "Confess your faults to one another." That's a show of love, that we humbly recognize that we are sinners and we still sin even as believers, and we need prayer and pray one for another. That is a show of love for one another, that we respect that each one of us can pray for each other. We looked at the verse in Ephesians, "Be kind one to another." Kindness is an evidence of love, that we are friendly, that we are easily entreated and so on, and tender-hearted, forgiving one another, that we are not quick to take offense, but we're slow to take offense and quick to forgive. And we've looked at other passages as well, like in Romans chapter 12, where it says, "Be kindly affection one to another." That's saying have family affection for each other as Christians. So these are specific ways in which we can love one another. Well, we come to Galatians chapter 6, and this is a passage that, if you've ever heard of J. Vernon McGee, he was a preacher from Texas and California, and our brother Fred Cerniak, whose body is buried behind me in the cemetery, he was our treasurer for many years. He was converted listening to J. Vernon McGee on the radio. He lived way up in the corner of Boston off of Manchester, on Ranchester Road, off of, what is that road up there, Abbott Hill Road. And I don't think even though we went door to door, we probably never would have reached him door to door, because he was literally in the corner. And McGee kept saying once in a while, "You need to find a good church. Every Christian should be in a good church and hear the Word of God regularly and exhort one another and be members in the body and so on. And everybody needs one another as a member." So he started coming, and he stayed for the rest of his life. But it was McGee I was reading about that said when he was growing up that this passage gave him trouble, because he said there was an atheist in his town that used to go on the street corner and preach against the Word of God. And he said the Bible's full of contradictions. And he said the one passage that he used was Galatians chapter 6. He said, "Look, it says in verse 2, to bear ye one another's burdens. But then, do you notice it says in verse 5, for every man shall bear his own burden." See, the Bible's full of contradictions. And McGee said, admittedly, as he was walking to Sunday school, and he would stop and listen to this man every Sunday. And he said almost every Sunday he would point this passage out. And he didn't have an answer for him at that time. And yes, there is an answer. The Bible has seeming contradictions. By the way, there are different Greek words that are used in verses 2 and 5. The first Greek word speaks of a burden that can be too heavy to bear. And the second Greek word is speaking of a burden that no one else is really going to be able to help you bear, because we're all going to give account of ourselves to God and so on. It's like I said, everybody should shoulder his own pack. That's how someone has translated verse 5. So there's no contradiction here. It's saying that there are times when we can help one another with burdens that are too heavy to bear, but then there are times, there are certain things that we need to bear ourselves, and no one can bear with us, because we're going to have to shoulder that pack on our own. Just like I was saying to the children, when it comes time to die, no one can die with you. There are certain times and there are certain other burdens to bear. I mean, just the fact, just a life that's obedient to God, we're going to give account to at the end. That is a burden we need to bear individually. For I'm not going to stand before God. You're not going to be able to say, "Well, I'm going to appeal to my father for my life, or my mother, or my brother, or my sister. No, we're going to all stand individually before God and give account of the life that we live. But the Lord is teaching us again another specific application of loving one another from Galatians chapter 6 and particularly verse 2. Again, mutual love is the hallmark of Christians. I can remember just an illustration of burden bearing from a commercial years ago. I think it was in the 1970s that there was a football player that was walking through a tunnel after a long game, and he was exhausted and thirsty. And this little boy walked up to him and gave him a Coke. And the football player drinks the whole Coke down, and he's relieved of that burden of thirst. And the boy just turns around and just kind of walks away. And you remember that? Hey, kid! And Mean Joe Green throws him his jersey, and the boy says, "Wow!" And, you know, both burdens, I guess, were lifted. But I can remember particularly that as I was thinking about bearing burdens. I know that seems trite, but it's an illustration, an example of, you know, seeing a need and meeting it as we can. And the Lord certainly is telling us that we need to be observant. And of course, unless you're observant, you're not going to be able to see a burden to help bear. Or unless you're with the people of God, you can't bear the burdens of the people of God. So it takes time, it takes your presence, it takes your effort, it takes even expense, like the Good Samaritan, to bear one another's burdens. But I think the first thought is that life is full of burdens. Isn't the Lord teaching us? He gives us many illustrations of life. And one this in particular is saying there are obviously going to be burdens that everyone is having to carry along life's way. Now, of course, we know that burdens are, generally speaking, are a result of the fall of man. Remember, the burden of thorns and thistles. This, can you imagine gardening without weeds, without rocks in the way, without hard soil, without salty soil? Can you imagine weeding without thorns and thistles? There's a lot of burdens just in our labor. The child labor of mothers as they bear their little ones, as Jessica, even though it didn't seem to be very long, it's still a burden, and some have more burden and more pain than others, but certainly is a burden. And in one sense, they have to bear that burden alone. As much as they coached her and as much as her mother and her sister were there to encourage her and the nurse and the doctor, yet there was a burden she had to bear herself. And the Bible talks about the sweat of your face and, you know, the burden of labor that would not have been there except by the fall of man, and many other burdens. Remember the servants who complained that they had borne the burden and heat of the day, and the others who had been saved at the end of the day had been given the same reward. And the point is that, yes, as we live this life, we're going to bear the burden and heat of the day. Even Paul speaks about the fact that in this tabernacle we do groan, being burdened. We're burdened with a body that's dying. We're burdened in a world that's perishing. And we're burdened to get our new bodies and to experience the resurrection. So we have a burden, you know, every day as you get older, trying to roll out of bed. And you feel like the Tin Man. Is it the Tin Man that needed the oil can? And believe me, I need the oil can everywhere. My knees and my shoulders and ankles. And it just seems like every day it advances on. And the burden of getting old, the burden of gray hairs, and the burden of your health, the burden of your diet, the burden of digestion, just all kinds of things. The burden of, I went to the eye doctor the other day, and she said, first time that my left eye was better than my right eye. I said, where did that come from? I have a lazy left eye. And she said, well, she gave me all these factors and wants to send me to a different doctor. But there's another burden that came into the life, and they're just going to multiply. And there's a burden I have to bear myself. You can't help me bear my eye burden, although you might be able to be my eyes sometimes. But we know that there are many burdens. The burden of sin. Look at the context. The very first verse, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Now, the wording of this is not that this was a settled course of sinful action, but a surprise that overtook this person. And instead of being arrogant and how did you fall into that particular sin, it says, in a spirit of meekness help that person, because there go I but by the grace of God. We all know what it's like to be ensnared by a particular fault or sin. And so we're there to help pick that person up and bear that burden and encourage them to know that there's forgiveness with the Lord and they can get back on their feet. And if they've injured someone else by their sin, that there can be that slow healing and recovery. So we're there to help a person who's fallen. Sin snares, financial scares, family challenges, child rearing, marital unity, evangelistic efforts, church cares. As Paul spoke of the cares of the churches, these are burdens that we can help one another bear. But life is full of burdens, and we have to remember that. Paul spoke about being pressed out of measure, despairing even of life. He understood what it was to be burdened. Now, of course, we know that salvation through Christ relieves the weight of original sin and eternal judgment. Those are burdens that you and I cannot bear. It's Christ that bears those burdens. He can take away our sin and He can give eternal life. And if that's your burden today, you've never been saved and you have the burden of sin upon your soul and eternal judgment, today you can have that burden lifted. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, aren't they? It's the blood of Jesus Christ that washes us from every sin. Call upon Him to relieve you of that terrible burden of sin and judgment and eternal incarceration under God's righteous wrath. The family of God affords help in carrying life's burden. You know, you've heard it say it takes a community to raise a child. In a sense, that's true. It takes a church to help a family raise a child, to be there to pray, provide meals, to just encourage in child rearing and some key advice and counsel, we can certainly help. But life is full of burdens. Secondly, some burdens are too heavy and on purpose to bear alone. Whether it be by the fall or by providence, God will give us burdens simply so that we might enlist the love of others. You know, you say, why did the Lord bring this burden upon me? Why this additional burden? Well, one reason might be that He wants you to be engaged with another person in reciprocal love, in mutual love. Or He wants another Christian to observe that burden so that they might engage their love for that individual. These are opportunities to love one another when burdens come. And again, the example is the man overtaken in a fault. This is a situation, you know, obviously, we find things like that in the Scriptures. David should have enlisted people when he was overtaken in the fault of adultery, in the sin of adultery. It overtook him. But instead of seeking help, and instead of someone coming up to him in love and saying, David, you need to repent immediately. You need to get this right with God. And you need to repent to Bathsheba's husband and so on. Instead, it became a settled course of action in his life, didn't it, for the next year? Wasn't there someone there to step up? Were they just afraid of being beheaded by the king, that they didn't help him in his being overtaken in this burden? And then, of course, there are other examples of that. Elijah's depression. God was there to comfort him. And the angel came to relieve him of his burden by giving him sleep and giving him food. And, you know, many times, I'm not saying it's the only reason, but many times when people are depressed, it simply is they need food, they need rest, and they need the comfort of God's Word. And they need an encouragement from a believer. Think of Peter's three lapses when he denied the Lord. He was overtaken. And the Lord Jesus met him with love, didn't he? As he looked at him in the face, and there at the seashore, he said, "Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me?" He met Peter. He lifted that burden with love and with comforting words. Martha's anxiety, that was a burden to her. She had overlooked the fact that Jesus was in the house, and you don't have him very, very often there. So the work can be suspended for a while. Martha sit at Jesus' feet. She was just cumbered about with much serving, and Jesus, with his words, helped lift that burden. Martha, Martha, please. Mary has chosen that work that shall not be taken away. So many Jerusalem saints were in the crisis of a plague, or and the saints, the Gentile saints, raised money to help the Jerusalem believers, and so there are people who have financial burdens and cares that can be relieved by believers in the Lord. We need help. We can't do it alone. The Bible doesn't teach that Christians should be lone rangers. Christians need help, and this is a way in which we can show our love and mutual aid by lifting one another's burdens. And obviously an example that McGee called this one of the most blunt verses in the Bible, verse 6, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all things." In other words, don't muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. That's about as blunt as you can get too. But it's reciprocal. The teacher helps the student who needs knowledge. He has the burden of knowledge, and he helps the student with knowledge. The pastor, the elder, the Sunday school teacher. But then the student helps the pastor, the teacher, by taking care of his or her financial needs. Some burdens are too heavy on purpose to bear alone, and they're opportunities for us to show love. Thirdly, burdens are opportunities, again, to express the love of Christ. Notice it says, "And so fulfill the law of Christ." So fulfill the law of Christ. Now, what does that mean? It fulfills His Word. The word law doesn't always mean Mosaic law or the Ten Commandments. It can mean the overall teaching or the principle of Christ's teaching. And isn't that what He taught over and over again? Love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have loved one to another. Law is a mandate. It's the mandate of Christ that we love one another. And one way in particular is lifting one another's burdens. Here is love. Remember Joseph lifting the burden of the butler and baker who had dreamed those dreams. And even though you say, well, one of them was put to death 3 days later, I still think it was Joseph's help. That man had 3 days to think about eternity. How many people don't think about eternity and they're taken suddenly? I mean, in a sense, that was gracious of God to show that. What was it, the baker? The baker was told, in 3 days, you're going to be executed. So you think, what was that man thinking for 3 days? How can I prepare for death? How can I prepare for eternity? And who else but Joseph could have pointed him? He lifted that burden. I would hope, now I can't be dogmatic, but I would hope that baker's in glory. He had an evangelist. He had a believer in jail with him that could point him to the God of salvation and the God of eternal life. And here was Joseph relieving that burden. Remember Solomon, the mother of the child that was exchanged during the night, and Solomon relieved the heavy burden on that mother that her child was restored to her. David had great thirst. Remember those men, his men risked their lives to go get him a drink of water. Even though his thirst wasn't relieved because he poured it out as a drink offering, yet his heart was comforted that he had men that were loyal and faithful, brothers in the Lord. The Good Samaritan, of course, what a opportunity he had to express the love of Christ to a stranger. And that's, again, a cause for us not just to relieve the burdens of those people that we know, but that we're to be ready to show, as it says, doesn't it, later on in this passage that we read together, As therefore we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Yes, especially to those who are of the household of faith. But we aren't to be selective, as it were. I understand in this day and age you've got to be very careful about who you approach and people that are along the side of the road. You understand that this is with a qualifier. But the point is that we have a heart to show love and we're neighborly toward others. And we want to lift people's burdens as we can. Remember in Romans 12 it says we're to show mercy with cheerfulness. And I think you have a qualifier there. Make sure we consider ourselves lest we also be tempted. That is, we're to come humbly when we help people, not, well, here I am helping you, you know, as if we're announcing it. That's not the love of Christ. And the love of Christ certainly is to show mercy with cheerfulness. Not, you know, you're wasting my time. I need to be at work. And, you know, this has caused me a lot of expense. And if I help you, I'm going to get dirty. We might as well not help a person. We need to pray for a heart of love that we see opportunities and we are quick to show those opportunities. And we need to do so with a heart of love. Fourthly, not only is life full of burdens, and some burdens are too heavy to bear alone, and burdens are opportunities to express the love of Christ. But bearing burdens is a good work to give account to in the day of Christ. The Bible says, let every man prove his own work. Personal responsibility, verse 4. Then he'll have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for every man shall bear his own burden. Interestingly, verse 5 is, by helping someone bear his burden, we're bearing our burden. That is, our load, our task in life. In other words, we're going to give account to the Lord. How much good did you do when you had opportunity? Did you bear someone else's burden? Did you shoulder your pack by helping someone? That is our lot. Every believer is obligated before God to be Christ-like, to go about doing good, to bear others' burdens. That's our burden, to bear others' burdens. See, there's no contradiction in this passage. They're both true. And it's a good work. We're going to give account whether we were unselfish and observant or whether we were lone rangers and we just cared for our own things. And remember, 1 Corinthians says, love seeketh not her own. Love is long-suffering and kind. Love is obviously unselfish in nature. In due season, we shall reap if we faint not. And so often, it says, let us not be weary in well-doing. So often, people, what do I get from it? All I'm doing is expending, and all I'm doing is getting dirty by it, and using up my time. And again, it's the love of Christ that drives us. The Lord Jesus sacrificed His life. This life is not about us. It's about Christ. It's about others. It's about yielding our lives that we might bless the brethren and sisters, that we might reach souls for Christ. Let us not be weary in well-doing. In due season we shall reap if we faint not. It may not be in this life, but it certainly will be in the life to come. No man, God is no debtor to any man. God is righteous. And did we not get more than we deserve? Saved by grace. The fact that God would reward our good works after salvation, that's grace, isn't it? And finally, look for opportunities to bear burdens. Not all are obvious. Some burdens are seasonal. But our time is short. The day's going to come where we're just going to be a burden that others have to carry. Go to the nursing homes And I encourage the brothers and sisters in the home, look, you may think you're just a burden, but you can pray for us. That's lifting our burdens. But they feel like now's my time is over. People have to lift me out of bed. People have to push me in a wheelchair. People have to feed me. People have to visit me. I can't visit anymore. I can't go to church. I can't change a tire anymore. I can't carry anybody's groceries anymore. See, the day's going to come, if we live long enough, that we're going to be a burden. Let us sow that we might reap. The day will come that we will basically be a burden upon loved ones. While we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially those who are the household of faith. An example, Jesus was, went about all the cities and villages. Interestingly, didn't he say, it doesn't say he was healing. He was giving food. First, the first burden and the greatest burden he knew that people had was their soul. It says he was going about all the cities and villages teaching and preaching and healing. Not that healing was subpar, but he knew the greatest burden they had was their soul burden, their sin burden, their burden about preparing for eternity. Brother and sister, do we care for people's souls? People are going to live somewhere forever. There's a heaven or a hell. There's no in between. God has a prison just like we have prisons for criminals. And God has a paradise for those who know Christ. First, the first burden we need to relieve of people is their sin burden. But as we know, the Lord Jesus, to reach the heart often reached the stomach, and He fed people and healed people, give them the gospel. But He knew their chief burden was to teach them the Word, to preach to them the truth. Let us look for opportunities. See souls in need of Christ. Remember the Good Samaritan again. What does it say? He saw him. So did the priest and the Levite. They saw the man. Remember the parable of the Good Samaritan is a man that's going from Jerusalem down to Jericho. It was a very dangerous place. There were robbers and thieves in the way, and this man was assaulted, knocked probably unconscious, but he was left for dead. And two religious people walked on the other side. They saw him too, but they did nothing about it. But it says that the Good Samaritan, he saw him, he had compassion on him, and he went to him. You see, so often you hear people say, you know, I feel sorry for that person. No, we don't. If we don't go do anything about it, that's not true compassion. I heard this, a preacher was saying he was at a banquet one night, and he was sitting at a table, and this waitress had a huge pile of dishes, and she was walking, and they just fell and went all over the place. Just broken china and broken glasses. And one preacher said to another, you know, I feel sorry for that girl. His friend was a true friend. He said, no, you don't. He said, you don't feel sorry, have real compassion for her unless you go help her. What could he do? He says, you're right. So they got up and they helped her, even though it might not have been the right thing to do in rules and union and so on. They got down on their knees and picked up the broken china and picked up the broken glasses. You see, if we really have compassion on someone, we'll show it to them. We won't just say it. We won't just look and see a person in need. We'll help a person if we really feel love for that person. And I'm preaching to myself as much as I'm preaching to you. May God help us not to just feel, but to show true love for one another. Not that we're being busybodies in people's affairs, but we're busy bodying help. We're busy showing love for one another. It says Jesus saw, he looked upon the multitudes, and he was moved with compassion upon them. He was teaching and preaching and healing. What are some of the burdens that we can help bear? The burden of grief when people have a tragedy or a loss in the family. We can just simply be there. And many times you don't say a word, but your presence is there. Send flowers, make a meal. People have the burden of tension. Try to relieve tension. Someone is worried about losing their job or worried about things that we can be there to comfort and to appease. The fault of falling into certain sins or financial bills or sickness, that we can come and just be a source of comfort, or depression. We can be there to remind them of the promises of God. I understand there are burdens that we're all going to have to bear alone. But we have the Savior who's gone through death. The Savior who's had to bear those burdens alone for us. We have a Savior who's a great high priest who has compassion upon us, and He is going to do something about it. He gives us His promises and His Spirit and His comfort. This is the hallmark of Christians. It's the hallmark of Christians, denominationalism. God is a God of variety, but that's not the hallmark. Whether we're Presbyterian or Baptist or Methodist, no, is separation the hallmark of Christians? Argumentation, so often you find that in churches. Sectarianism, even Calvinism, is that the hallmark of Christians? Or even conservatism? By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. A mandate of mutual help, mutual aid, mutual assistance. Let us be doers of the word and not hearers only.